Pastor David Coleman here. So glad you've tuned in today. I want to give you men a personal invitation to come and be with us right here, Harvest Worship Center, on the 29th of March at 10 o'clock. We're going to have a meet and greet. We're having a men's conference called Raising Young Lions. We're living in a time where we're in desperate need for God to touch our young men. So if you have a son, we want you to bring him. Meet and greet starts at 10 o'clock. We're going to have donuts and coffee and some other things. We want to get to know each other a little bit. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to break off and come to the sanctuary here in the Harvest Worship Center. Bishop Lance Johnson from Ranger, Georgia, is going to be preaching to us the Word of God. Lance is a powerful man of God. He's preaching all over Kentucky right now, and Kentucky is on fire. You don't want to miss this men's conference on March the 29th here at the Harvest Worship Center, 10 o'clock meet and greet, 11 o'clock service. Raising Young Lions. So come on out. Let's raise young lions for this generation and see the glory of God move in Jesus' name.
You, Father God, to touch from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I plead the blood of Jesus. God, I plead the case of the blood of Jesus over our bodies and over this house and over these meetings to come. God, I plead it over this morning's meeting, God, that you would touch from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, that we would not leave the same as we walk through these doors. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. We decree it, God. Shake us, God, out of our slumber and our sleep. Shake us, God, out of our slumber and our sleep. Open our eyes, God, that we will see there are more with us than are against us. Open our eyes in the name of Jesus. Open our ears in the name of Jesus. Father, the victory belongs to the body of Christ. The victory belongs to His chosen ones. And God, we decree it and declare it. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for all these testimonies, and we do not take them lightly. God, we thank you for the testimonies that are yet to come. Oh God, we thank you for the testimonies that are yet to come. God, we thank you. We thank you for the prodigals that are coming home. We thank you, God, for the revelation and the encounters, God, that our prodigals are going to have. In the mighty name of Jesus, go out among this region. Draw them in, God. Draw them in with cords of love. God, we declare it and we decree it in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen.
Yes. Give a shout of praise. Come on.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my doom till I met you. sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, you was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my Christ is my firm foundation, or the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be going. With you, I'm gonna make it through, yeah.
This morning to me, you praise it. Say, yes, Lord. Somebody say, my God is greater. Say, my God is bigger. Say, my God is better. Give him a shout. Come on.
No valley too low. There's no fear there.
how good he is. Say, you are good, Lord. Say it again. Say, you are good, Lord.
I love you, Lord. And your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head down, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. The goodness of God.
Sing it again.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness, come on. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running, oh, it's running after me. Oh, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. So good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes, Lord.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. We haven't seen what you can do. There is power. So much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe no more.
Seated ushers, if you'll come, we're going to receive tithe and offering. If you
praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So come on, give him a praise. Don't patty cake. If you're going to clap, clap. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of the word. I want to remind all you guys about our men's conference, March the 29th. Meet and greet starts at 10 o'clock. We'll have donuts and coffee and some other good stuff and just get to know one another. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll be shifting from down there up to here. And Lance will be ministering in that meeting, Raising Young Lions. We live in a challenging time, and our kids need to be marked. And I'm telling you, I hear so many sad stories and how that Satan is attacking and the way that he's moving. He has pulled out all the stops, but I thank God this morning he's a liar. He's a loser. He's under our feet. He is defeated. Somebody say amen. You do not want to miss that. It's going to be really good. And Lance just got him an airplane, so it's cutting down his time. He said he may drive. And I said, well, you can land across the road in my neighbor's landing strip. It's grass. He said, well, I don't know about that. But anyhow, he's looking forward to coming. He's excited. And, man, I'm telling you, he was talking about Kentucky. And if you haven't been following what's going on in Kentucky, it's on fire from one end to the other. There's a lot of roots of and historical roots of revival and outpourings in Kentucky, and I'm praying it just spills over. Amen. And here in Virginia, Tennessee, Virginia, just God do it. Somebody say God do it. Amen. If we're hungry enough, he'll do it. Amen. Somebody say, look at your neighbor, say, get hungry. Get hungry. Somebody said, I ain't hungry. You let me grill a good steak and set it in front of you. I bet you'll get hungry. Amen. We're going to read from Psalm 89, verse number 34, and then also Hebrews 8 and 6 as well. Psalm 89, verse number 34. It is good to see you in God's house this morning. I'm so glad that you do not have the flu and you're not in the hospital and you're not sick. I'm telling you, this has been hell week. Man, I've never seen the enemy attack so many people and that need our prayer. And so this morning, we're going to pray for them at the end of service. We're going to have communion. And we're going to believe God to wipe it out. Somebody say, wipe it out in Jesus' name. And make sure that you cover yourself with the blood of Jesus every day. Amen. Plead the blood of Jesus. Stand on the word of God. Speak that covenant promise over yourself. And get ahead of the game. Somebody say, get ahead of the game. Amen. See, the anointing, one of the words for the anointing means the advantage. We have the advantage over our adversary. Amen. We do. Psalm 89, verse number 34, my covenant, this is God speaking, so you know what I'm going to be preaching on this morning, covenant. My covenant will I not break. That's, you ought to take that verse and just write it down and put it on every mirror that you have. Put it on your speedometer, make sure you can see it, but you know what I'm saying. Put it in your mirror, put it anywhere that you can think of. God said, and how many knows he does not lie? He does not lie. My covenant I will not break. Listen to what else. Nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Now the devil will lie to you, but God will never lie to you. He's not a man that he should lie, number says. And then also Hebrews chapter number 8. Starting with verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, talking about Jesus, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Everybody say a better covenant. Which was established on better promises. Somebody say better promises. Man, there was some good stuff in the old covenant. Amen. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. God had something better on his mind. He's got something good on his mind this morning. Somebody say amen. Amen. Something wonderful, something good. So, Father, we thank you today for your word. Holy Spirit, we say we desperately need you. Come and breathe upon us. Lord, we pray today that you'll take that has been released out of the bowels of darkness. Lord, attacks against your people, heart attacks, flu, cancer, all kinds of things, Father. for your great name's sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, that covenant that you will not break. We ask you to turn it back upon the head of the enemy, turn it around in people's lives. Lord, we speak healing over them and we claim the power of this covenant today. You will not break it, O God. You will not break it. And Father, we thank you today. We believe for healing for those people, deliverance for those people, salvation for the souls of men and women and children. And Father in heaven, we just thank you for what you're going to do today in our lives. Let faith be built and made strong to receive. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Covenant blood. Everybody say, covenant blood. Covenant blood. And I want this to really sink down in your spirit, man, today. I know that it's around 300 times in Scripture that covenant or covenants is mentioned. That tells you that it is important. Amen. Throughout history, God has initiated covenants with mankind, whether it is the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, or that everlasting covenant that he made with Abraham that was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Covenants were initiated by God telling man what he would do, and in response, man was to keep the covenant through faith and obedience. Everybody say faith and obedience. You shall eat the good of the land. I said, you shall eat the good of the land if you have faith and if you be obedient. So whenever God made himself known to man, the occasion was usually marked by a covenant name, such as God appearing to Abraham as Jehovah El Shaddai, the Almighty God. How significant that is. Somebody say amen. God did not want Abraham to forget this. Somebody say it is a covenant name. A covenant name. So God is appearing to Abraham in chapter 6 and telling him this. And so throughout the scripture, God reveals his nature, his character, and his purpose many times through those covenant names. Jehovah Roi, the Lord sees. Aren't you glad that God sees you today? And then Jehovah Rapha, the Lord heals. Then Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Jireh, most everybody knows that one. The Lord shall provide. Jehovah Elyon, the Lord Most High. Somebody say, he is the Most High. Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God. The Lord God. And then Jehovah Tsabaoth, the Lord of Hosts. And that's a good one to know, that God of the angel armies is watching over us. Somebody say, amen. So these were all revelations of who he is in the Bible. They tell us something about God. One of the things is that God wanted to share that part of himself with humanity. He's given it to us. So God is a covenant God. Psalm 89, verse 34, our scripture text. My covenant will I not break, nor will I alter the word that proceeds forth from my mouth. I love that. Somebody say amen. You see, we by nature today, we are covenant people. A covenant is often referred to as a contract. We would think of it that way. But it's more than just a contract. You see, covenants go a lot deeper than that. Somebody say they go deeper. They go deeper. A contract is limited to some legal obligations between parties, whereas a covenant touches moral and spiritual obligations. So the Word of God tells us how God related to his people through covenants. Through covenants. The Old Testament with Abraham and his descendants. And I love this because that is an everlasting covenant to you and me. It's fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, our new covenant. Somebody say our new covenant. And so the reason that there were two covenants was because the first was flawed. Somebody say it was flawed. It was incomplete, but it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He did what the Old Testament could not do for you and me. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter number 8, verses 6 and 7, again, says that Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. I like that. Made on better promises. a better covenant made on better promises. For if the first had been faultless, then there would have been no need for a second. Amen. I'm glad you're here this morning, and I'm glad they didn't come out and stone you this week. Some of you deserved it. Amen. I'm just playing with you. But under that old covenant, it could be rough. Somebody say it could be rough. Amen. So the first covenant was by sacrificial blood of goats and bulls, which could never take away sin. It just covered them. But the new covenant was built on the precious, sinless, spotless blood of Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. Man, that's powerful. I said, that's powerful. You ought to thank God every day for the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, we in the Western civilization have little understanding of what a covenant is, and I want you to track with me this morning. See, we break our agreements so easily. Even if we sign a paper, we can still break it. Many people take oaths in the court of law. They say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and still lie. Amen? People give their word that they will do such and such, and I'll do this for you, but they never follow through with it. They're covenant breakers. Somebody say covenant breakers. They shake hands and they make promises together only to see those promises broken. Are you listening to me this morning? I believe that we and our nation are in danger of losing the meaning of certain things without that which have been traditionally dear to us in America, especially precious to our culture and our nations, because we don't honor them. We don't honor covenant, and it's because of our lack of respect. Somebody say you have to respect it. You have to respect it. Think about this. We sacrifice our unborn on the altar of self-convenience by denying life as starting when you get the baby to the house. Is that right? The sanctity of marriage has been threatened by leaders who cannot define a marriage between a man and a woman. The sanctity of marriage is also threatened by people that cohabitate, live together. And what that does is it weakens our nation, it confuses our children, and it also weakens the bonds of matrimony. People say, well, nobody else is getting married. I don't need to get married. If you're going to heaven, you better get married. If you want to go to heaven, you need to get married. Somebody say, that's not right to live together. Amen. You need to get it right. See, our national heritage is being threatened by liberals who want to rewrite our history by removing monuments and landmarks, statues, placards, renaming streets, renaming bridges, renaming schools, renaming sports teams. Are you listening to me? Taking God out of history, anything that they can possibly do that has to do with covenant. Because all of these things that I'm talking about have to do with covenant this morning. This is because we are not in covenant with the truth of God. I was listening to this week with a visceral hatred and speech that was going on the TV. And I said, you know, these people are screaming. They're destroying the Constitution. I'm saying, they don't even know what the Constitution says. They have no idea. Somebody say they need to come to one of our classes here at Harvest Worship Center and find out what the Constitution is all about. Somebody say amen. And so there's several words that we use in our language to describe covenants. But before I share that with you this morning, I want you to understand that covenant is born out of an Eastern mindset. Everybody say Eastern mindset. Eastern mindset. To understand it, what we have to do is to go back and look at the origins of covenant. Somebody said that, well, if it's an Eastern concept, then why do we need it? I want to say to you this morning that we need it for the same reason that our Savior is of an Eastern descent, and that the Word of God was born out of Eastern descent. Somebody say, yes, Lord. So what is covenant? The Hebrew word for covenant is the word berith, which comes from an ancient root word that means to fetter. Words which have similar meaning are confederacy, which means a league, or compact, which means to make an agreement with someone, or a league, which means to come into alliance with someone. But in its Hebrew form, berith also stems out of the word that means to cut. Everybody say to cut. from the practice of two covenant parties passing between two pieces of meat, making a compact one with another. So more precisely, berith means to cut until bleeding occurs. To cut until bleeding occurs. So the cut has got to be deep enough for the blood to flow. Blood, God is telling us, is at the very heart of covenant. So the Eastern mind regards blood quite differently than we do in the Western world. So from the Hebraic perspective, without blood, there is no covenant. No blood, no covenant. Hebrews 9 and 22 says what? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So whenever Eastern men or otherwise drew up a contract, they sealed it by cutting a covenant. So what do we say cutting a covenant was? Cutting until you bleed. All right, let's go a little bit deeper. So the covenant was a guarantee that neither party was going to go back on their agreement with one another. No blood, no covenant. And so there are four ways of sealing a blood covenant. So the first was to cut the palm of the hand. So each party would cut the palms of their hands, and then after that they would take and put hands together and commingle the blood together. They commingled that blood together with a handshake. So it meant that the two became blood brothers in agreement over something. So today the closest thing that we have to that is the handshake. That's where it came from. And so that is the lingering remains of what this blood covenant is. It's when you strike hands with somebody. In the Eastern concept, you cut your hand, you cut the palms, and you mingle that blood together. You see, there was a time in America when the handshake meant something. You didn't sign papers. You looked at each other, you shook on it, you agreed, and that was it. And you know what? By and large, people kept their word up until a certain point in time. It meant, I'm going to do what I said that I would do. I'm not going to back down from what I have made an oath to, and I will perform my obligation. And then secondly, the second way of sealing a blood covenant was that each party was to cut their wrist, and then together they were to mingle that blood together from their wrist. All right? I remember watching a Western one time that had Charles Bronson. He was an Indian in the movie, and they wanted to make war against these people. In fact, they had it in their heart they were going to murder them and just wipe them out. And so the white man in the scene said, I'll tell you what. He said, we'll fight. We're going to have a contest. As they began to fight. And what the man did is he took the knife and he cut the wrist of Charles Bronson. And then he cut his own wrist and slapped them together. The power of that blood meeting that blood stopped the murder and stopped the war. Somebody say that's powerful. So you begin to understand the power of a blood covenant. And then also, thirdly, another Eastern tradition with making a blood covenant involved, again, the cutting of the hand, the cutting of the wrist. And each person would then take several drops of that blood, and they would put it in a cup of wine, and they would share the cup one with another. My goodness, sounds a lot like that. Excuse me, sounds a lot like this, doesn't it? Once this goes in you, you cannot get it back out. Amen. So in this way, each person indicated the willingness to enter into covenant. And then fourth and final, the way that they sealed a blood covenant was they would take a sacrificial animal and let its blood substitute for the blood of those who were entering into the covenant. So basically, this is the method that God used under the old covenant, the first covenant with the children of Israel. So an innocent lamb without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, any kind of a defect at all, was taken and it was slaughtered. And its blood was then sprinkled upon the altar and it would make an atonement or cleanse the people for sin. So its carcass at the end of that would then be burned until there was nothing left. This is a type and a shadow for us of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you catch it? Are you getting it this morning? So it was a foreshadow of when Jesus, the Lamb of God, would shed his blood, his precious, sinless, spotless blood for you and me, pour it out for us, and that blood would be received upon the mercy seat of the Father. Somebody say amen. I love this. So unlike covenants that are between nations or men, which are entered into as a mutual agreement and negotiation, God's covenant is one that is unilateral. He initiated it. Somebody say, he initiated it. He initiated. He established it. He laid the terms without any input from us at all. He didn't ask what you wanted. He didn't ask what you needed to put in it. He did it himself. Somebody say, he did it himself. So then what God did is he presented the covenant, or presents it to us, and we're invited into the covenant together with him. So this unilateral covenant of God is born out of the meaning of the Hebrew word berith and its Greek equivalent in the New Testament, diakathē. So the word diakathē means a will that is distributed or distributes one's property after they are dead and gone. And such a covenant is unilateral. Somebody say unilateral. So when we enter into covenant with God, we become partners with him in a sense of the word. Not equal partners, understand, but partners by his grace. So the only covenant that God Almighty recognizes is a blood covenant. Everybody say blood covenant. Blood covenant. So the blood of Jesus brings us into partnership with God. We become heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, and I want you to catch this, it states, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh with its life that is in the blood. And then in Leviticus 17, 10 and 11, it tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it unto you upon the altar to make an atonement for your sin, your soul. Are you listening? For it is the blood that makes an atonement for your soul. So what the Lord is saying here is that the life is in the blood. Everybody say that. Say, the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Say it again. Say, the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. So when the blood of a sacrifice is shed, that blood makes an atonement for you. So the blood represents the life of a person. That's what we're getting at. All right, in the shaking of that hand and the cutting of that wrist and the cutting of that palm and the shedding of the blood of Jesus. Come on now. A blood covenant involves a commingling of lives so that two become one. Man, you got to get this. So if you and I ever enter into a covenant together, we become partners one with another. Now listen to me. So if I enter into that covenant, I now stand accountable for you, and you stand accountable for me. Mm-hmm. Your life is my life. My life is your life. Our lives are blended together. Somebody say, they're blended together. Somebody says, I don't know whether I like this or not. So therefore, if anyone comes against me, they're coming against you. If anybody comes against you, they're coming against me. Uh-huh. Sounds like the families when we're going up says, if you jump on him and beat him, I'm coming to hit you too. Say, so you mess with them, you're going to be messing with me. We got a big clan behind us. If they come against me, I will come against you. We stand for one another. So any attack on you is an attack on me. I have sworn to protect you, and you have sworn to protect me. Think just a minute now. So what is your life? Your life is your blood. So what is your life? What is your life? What is your life? It is your children. It is your possessions. It is your treasures. It is your investments. It is your resources. Everything that you are and everything that you have, in a sense, is wrapped up in your blood. You see, when Cain slew Abel in the Bible, and the Bible said his blood cries up from the ground, it did not say blood. That was in the singular. It's in the plural. His blood's cried up from the ground. Because within you there is a nation. Within you there's a multitude. Oh, see, you begin to understand now that everything that is Jesus belongs to me. And everything that I have belongs to Jesus. And he's got a lot more going than I have. Come on now. Mm-hmm. So when you enter into a blood covenant together, I regard your family, your possessions, your treasures, your resources as though they were mine. I respect you. It makes a whole big difference in church when Jesus says, love thy neighbor as thyself. So you began to understand that if I do somebody harm or if I say something against someone, I'm breaking my covenant with them as a child of God in the body of Christ. So when we come together to have communion before the Lord, we are to examine one another to see whether or not we're in the faith and whether we are worthy of this covenant or not. Hello, somebody. So this covenant, this is covenant relationship. God wants us to get that. It is, and it's very poorly understood in the Western culture. It takes commitment. Look at somebody say it takes commitment. People like convenience. They don't like commitment. So let me put it this way. 2,000 years ago, Jesus shed his blood for you and me. He died our death. He was our substitute. He took our place. He who knew no sin was made to be our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. And John 15 and 13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends, because it's that blood covenant. It is an exchange that takes place right here. So Jesus takes our death and gives us his life. My God. That make you shout. I said, Jesus took our death, gave us his life. Now, I don't know why, and I don't even understand. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around it, that when I look at myself and when I look at other people, why Jesus would do this, other than what John tells us in 15:13 about the greater love. That Jesus loves us so much that he's willing to take our death and give us his life. He wants to be in covenant with us. When I was a sinner, I didn't have that. He offered it to me. It's unilateral. He said, look, I'm inviting you to come into this covenant. You can stay out in the world. You can live for the devil. You can live that kind of life and end up going to hell and darkness. But if you will take what I did for you on the cross, if you will give me your death and let me give you my life, it'll change everything for you. Somebody say, it'll change everything. So Jesus takes our sickness and gives us his health. Jesus takes our poverty and gives us his wealth. Jesus takes our heaviness and gives us garments of praise. Come on now. He gives us beauty for ashes. Jesus takes our mourning and gives us joy. Wow. So if you're born again, you are a blood brother with Jesus Christ. So in a sense, you have taken your wrist and you have placed them against his bloody, nail-pierced hands, and you entered into a covenant with him. Wow. So this means that you committed yourself to love him, to follow him, to serve him, to obey him, to live for him, to do his will and not yours. So when you're a blood brother and sister to Jesus, you also become blood covenant partners with him. Brothers and sisters, one with another, and we should honor him by acting in love toward one another. Oh, wow. I don't understand why I didn't get healed. I don't understand why my prayer didn't get answered. Could it be you are violating some things that God wants you to get straight? Doesn't mean that he will not heal you. It just means that we need to make some adjustments. Somebody say, make some adjustments. See, that's the power of covenant. Somebody say, the power of covenant, a bond between God and the one who is in covenant with him. Man, I like this. You know, I'm thinking this week, man, we got hell stirred up. We got the devil mad, but I'm glad. Somebody say, it's like the old song, oh, the devil is mad and I am glad. It lets me know, Satan, I hit you where it hurt. When I prayed that prayer, when I pushed back that plate, I made you hurt. I inflicted pain upon you and you have reacted toward me with all kinds of stuff. And it only lets me know that I hurt you. You're wounded. The name of Jesus has conquered you and I've already had my breakthrough. I am not going to sit around and try to lick my wounds or try to figure out what's going on. I know what's going on. I'm not ignorant of the devil's devices. I know exactly what's happening around me and going on with my family and my parishioners. Somebody say amen. And so I say he's in trouble because he's already revealed his hand. Somebody say he's revealed his hand. Wow. I love this because I love telling this story. I remember when my Aunt Leela, you know, when she was 13 years old and I was just a little kid and we were out in the woods walking and my granny was with us and my mother was with us and all of a sudden everything turned up sideways of Leela. She started staggering all over the place and fell. And just a few weeks, you know, we're trying to figure it out. They took her to the doctor and she found out that she had diabetes. But the doctor said back then they were concerned that she would die. Because the doctors had said, we don't know what else to do. Her blood sugar is out of control, and she's going in shock, and we just don't have the ability. There was no ability at that time to help her at all. And so I remember as a little bitty boy standing out on the carport, and I remember my granny came out with her apron on. And she began to walk back and forth. And she was talking to the Father. And she began to remind him of his goodness and his mercy and his grace and his kindness. And I was listening to Granny talk to Jesus. And she continued to cry out for his great name's sake. She didn't say she was good. She didn't say how wonderful that she was. She was crying out for her little girl. Come on, somebody. And all of a sudden she stopped there and she says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, I will, I will. And she looked at me and I looked at my granny and I said, Granny, I said, what's wrong? She said, Jesus just spoke to me and told me to quit praying about it, that it was going to be all right. Somebody say amen. That's covenant relationship. Come on now. I said, that's covenant relationship, that you understand that I'm an heir with God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And when I call upon him, I call upon him because of his precious, divine, holy, sinless, spotless blood that has brought me into his family. I am his child. I am his son. I belong to him. I am his daughter. And I know that God is going to answer my prayer. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. See, this is important. The bond between God and you is that covenant blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So when we have Holy Communion, we're remembering his covenant. We drink his blood. We eat his flesh. Come on, his body. So once the blood of a grape is pressed, his precious blood, it stands for the precious blood of Jesus. Once you receive this cup right here, it becomes a part of you. Everything that is yours. My God, can you imagine today that when you drink this cup that you're drinking God? You're drinking the blood of Jesus? Oh, come on, you're not getting this. The life is in the blood. Death might be going on in your body. You may need a miracle. But when you drink the life-giving blood of Jesus, it goes to destroy the death that is at work in you. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. That's why we examine ourselves, you know, before God. That we are not abusing his body. That we're not ill-treating Jesus. That we want every sin to be under the blood. See, it's important today. People don't want to believe that I can have sin in my life and I'm a Christian. Everything's all right. Grace covers it. My friend, unrepented sin is sin. You need to repent. Jesus taught us to repent. Somebody say repent. That means change your mind, change your direction. If you know that you're moving, if you're in the world, if you're of a carnal mind or a carnal nature, turn around and start living in the spirit, because to live in the flesh is death. To live in the spirit is life. Come on. And so here, think about this today. His precious blood, as we drink it, it becomes part of us. Part of us. And it can never be taken out of me. My God, it's a lot better than that stuff we were pumping in your veins, isn't it, Israel? It's a lot better than anything that's out there. I want to wrap my faith around that. That bread is his body that was broken for me. In his own body, he bore my sin. He bore my sicknesses. He carried my diseases. And with his stripes, I was healed. Somebody say, I'm healed. I'm healed with his stripes. So when Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 tells us these words in verse number 18, I believe that it is, he says, if any two of you shall agree together as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Oh my God, that's covenant power. Do you understand that the moment that you come together, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I am in the midst of them. Why? Because when you strike your hands together or you come together in agreement in covenant relationship, the bonding factor between us all is that blood of Jesus that is shed for us and that flows through our veins this morning. We have the strongest force that there is upon the earth today. We have the authority and the power to put Satan in his place if we will have faith in what Jesus did and use it. So what he said, if you'll agree together, I'll do it. If you'll come in covenant relationship and you will believe it, you can receive it. Somebody say amen. But you have got to understand this morning how powerful that you are. That's why it's important. It is important to live godly in Christ Jesus. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. So when I agree, I am bringing every resource he has into my situation. Oh, my God. Everything that's mine is his. I don't have anything. But everything is, he fixed it so that everything that's his is mine. Innumerable angels at my disposal. The healing power of God at my disposal. He said, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Is that what he said? Amen. Peace that passes all understanding that's keeping my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The covenant promises of God never fail. See, my heart breaks this morning because I hear people talking about their prayers not being answered and God not moving and why aren't things shifting and why isn't this happening? I really believe that we need to cut the accusation out and just really say, God, if there's anything in me that is unlike you, let it die today. Let it be removed from my life by the roots. Lord, I want an humble spirit and a heart that is steadfast toward you. God, I want everything between me and you right. Because if I'm going to pray, I want everything that heaven has at my disposal to come to my circumstances and into the person that I'm praying for. Why? Because you are me and I am you. And whatever I'm praying for is the same thing. Somebody say amen. So when I invoke his name, I'm bringing everything that he is. His power, his strength, his might, his armies, his wisdom. His counsel, his angels, his omnipotence, all that he is. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, today. How powerful that is. So we begin to understand. Now you know why the fellowship of believers is so important. Well, I don't like fellowshipping with them. I'm going to tell you something, honey. If it depends on your life, you will love to fellowship with them. If that's the only person that you can get to pray, listen, you may not like them. You may not like the color of their hair. You may not like the way that they smile. You may not like the way that they dress or anything else. But if they are God's child and that they belong to him and they're living godly in Christ Jesus, I can tell you right now, they can move hell out of the way for you. They can open heaven for you when they step together in agreement for you because they can release all that the covenant has afforded us. What a powerful thing. Today for covenant. Covenant relationship. That's the reason God was willing to cut that covenant with Abraham. This is what he said. For I know him. He will command his children and his children's children and his household. He will tell them the truth of my word. They will walk in my ways. And it'll make this covenant that I have with him as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven in number, innumerable. Oh, if the body of Christ could just wake up and get a sense of what I'm talking about. Listen, I challenge you today, turn off the news and turn on Jesus. I challenge you today, turn off the dead rhetoric and the demonic trash talk and turn on the truth of Jesus. Let your ears hear what he has to say today. Come on, we need a good flushing out of all the rhetoric that is in the world. Come on now. There's a harvest that needs to be reached. There's children that need to be born again. There's lives that need to be rescued. There's people that are ready to take their lives that need to find out that Jesus is a life giver, not a life taker. And so the power of this covenant today. is that when Jesus shed that blood for you and me, somebody say the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus, that covenant blood, sinless, spotless covenant blood. He died for you. He died for me so that we could have life. Not just have life, but to have it what? More abundantly. And so today I want you to understand that you are a covenant person. You are a covenant person. I said you are a covenant person. That bond of covenant is so powerful. See, if we are the true ecclesia of Jesus, the church, then our prayers are to govern the atmosphere. Our prayers to God can move things and shift things. That when we release and speak His divine will in the earth as His spokesman, as covenant people, do you understand today that so goes the world, the church, the world goes that way too? The reason we have so much confusion and mess in our world and in our nation is because it's in the church. Think about what Jesus says now. All men are going to know who you are. They're going to know that you're my disciples. Why? Because you have love one for another. My goodness, doesn't it just make you want to grab somebody's hand and say, what do you want to pray about? What do you want to believe God for today? What is it that you want to see change? What life do you want to see? What do you need God to do? Who needs healing? Because God said, somebody say, God said, my covenant will I not break. Neither will I alter the word that proceeds out of my mouth. We're going to take communion in just a second. So Jennifer, if you'll please come up. Terry, are you back in the back? Is she back there? I can't see her head. Where is she? Okay. I need to put the words up on the screen. Broken and beautiful. Okay, put those words up on the screen. Broken and beautiful. If you can hear me, okay? This is the power that we want released today. Let a man examine himself. So I want you to examine yourself today. And I want you to think very carefully. Have I accused anyone? Am I an accuser of the brethren, or am I an intercessor? Am I living godly in Christ Jesus? Or am I living my own life for me? Because we want to remove every barrier today that hinders. When the Lord dealt with me this morning about taking this cup, this is like stepping out in the middle between death and life and swinging the censer. Standing between death and life for people that need a miracle today. Stella needs a miracle. Mary Jane needs a healing. Israel needs a complete healing in his body. Leslie Mordew needs a healing. She has pneumonia. My goodness, if I could just sit there, I could just name others today, the ones that's been in the hospital and in and out, all this stuff that seems to be going on, this can break that. This can stop that. This can destroy it in Jesus' name. So I want you to go ahead this morning and I want you to open that up, okay? want you to just hold it. I want you to meditate on that this morning. I'm going to sing this song. Let's remember Jesus today. Let's focus upon him. As we break this bread, and as we drink this cup, Lord, we remember how you gave your life on a brutal cross. Lord, we remember this is the way you've chosen to save. This is the way you make all things new. This is the way you've chosen to save. This is the way you make all things new. Broken and beautiful, extravagant love, prodigal grace, broken and beautiful. God's perfect justice, mercy's embrace. As we break this bread and we drink this cup, Lord, we remember how you gave your life on the brutal cross. Lord, we remember this is the way you've chosen to save. This is the way you make all things new. And this is the way you've chosen to save. This is the way you make all things new. Broken and beautiful, extravagant love, prodigal grace, broken and beautiful. God's perfect justice, mercy's embrace. The Bible says in the same night that Jesus was betrayed that he took bread and he broke it, and said, this is my body which is broken for you. I want us to think about what the scripture says. Jesus bore your sin in his own body on the tree, that you being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, with whose stripes you were healed. He bore your sin in his own body. So this morning, Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me. And so we are remembering the Lord's death until he comes. And then likewise, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the remission of sin. And so as you receive this cup today, you're receiving the covenant blood of Jesus Christ. You are entering into a covenant that cannot be broken, a word that cannot be altered. And as you drink this cup today and as you eat this bread, believe God that whatever your need might be, believe God today. Whatever rescue, whatever the need, whatever needs to be broken, let's believe God today that as you drink this cup and eat this bread. So let's right now, Father, bless this bread, bless this cup. We receive it now in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Let's receive the bread and the cup.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let it flow, Lord. Let your strength flow. Let your healing power flow. Let your life flow today, Lord. Your life is in the blood. Thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you for your precious body, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross, shed his precious blood on the cross. He didn't have to do it. He did it because of love. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that God does not love you. Anytime he does, you need to just look at the cross. Just look at the cross. Think about that blood that was shed for you. If he went to that extreme, the death of the cross, how shall he not freely give us all things? Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you for shedding your blood for us, Lord. Thank you for bringing us into covenant relationship so that you could give us everything that you have, your very life, Lord. We're so unworthy. We have nothing. You are everything. And we thank you today, Lord. Thank you for your precious blood. Your life-giving blood, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to put those words back up on the screen. And I want us all to just stand. We're going to sing that song together this morning. As we break this bread and we drink this cup, Lord, we remember how you gave your life on a brutal cross. Lord, we remember this is the way you've chosen to save. This is the way you make all things new. For this is the way you've chosen to save. This is the way you make all things new, broken and beautiful, extravagant love, prodigal grace, broken and beautiful, God's perfect justice, mercy's embrace, broken and beautiful,
extravagant love, prodigal grace, broken and beautiful. God's perfect justice, mercy's embrace. So as we break this bread, and as we drink this cup, Lord, we remember.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, when every head bowed, if you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ for the pardon of sins, if you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you've drifted away from Him, today, if you want to be saved, if you want to rededicate that life to Jesus, I want you to step out and meet me at this altar right now. You need Christ. You need Christ. Meet me at this altar. You need Jesus. I want you to come. Pastor David Coleman here. So glad you've tuned in today. I want to give you men a personal invitation to come and be with us right here, Harvest Worship Center, on the 29th of March at 10 o'clock. We're going to have a meet and greet. We're having a men's conference called Raising Young Lions. We're living in a time where we're in desperate need for God to touch our young men. So if you have a son, we want you to bring him. Meet and greet starts at 10 o'clock. We're going to have donuts and coffee and some other things. We want to get to know each other a little bit. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to break off and come to the sanctuary here in the Harvest Worship Center. Bishop Lance Johnson from Ranger, Georgia, is going to be preaching to us the Word of God. Lance is a powerful man of God. He's preaching all over Kentucky right now, and Kentucky is on fire. You don't want to miss this men's conference on March the 29th here at the Harvest Worship Center, 10 o'clock meet and greet, 11 o'clock service, Raising Young Lions. So come on out. Let's raise young lions for this generation and see the glory of God move in Jesus' name.